It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward. Today is Make Music Day. This free celebration of music unites people all across the world each year on June 21st, the summer solstice. It's the world's largest annual music event. Launched in 1982 in France, it's now held on the same day in more than 1,000 cities in 120 countries and in many cities in Wisconsin. How are you celebrating? Call in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mo Tolman is the volunteer organizer of Make Music Barron. Mo, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
You're an active community volunteer. You're credited for projects like the Accessible Playground at Anderson Park. You're a former city council member. Now you're the primary volunteer organization of Make Music Day in Barron. Why this effort? Like, why is this important to you?
Well, I have to say I am not a musician. I took piano lessons as a kid and voice lessons, but I saw this when I was a council person. It came to me through a League of Municipalities email. And I just thought it kind of described Little Barron. And we were just coming off some success of a young man in town who had been on The Voice and placed in second place, and that's Chris Cruzy. So that is kind of our bragging rights, is that we are the hometown of Chris Cruzy. But the other thing that for me was important is I'm a little girl that was born in the sand hills of Nebraska. And yet I was introduced to jazz and opera and all different types of music, music theater. And so it's really important for me as an organizer to bring music to our community, to our youth, and to celebrate that. And Make Music Day does that.
You say you're not a musician, even though you had some training, but I can hear the enthusiasm in your voice when you talk about music. I mean, what is it about music that unites people, that just brings people together?
Well, I think that the pandemic was a good example of how it brought us together. We were struggling that year in Barron here because it was our first year, learned about the project kind of late in the game, I felt. And then when the pandemic hit, it was like, how are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. Collectively, globally, we were all going, how are we going to make this happen? And it still happened. And that's because that's the power of music. Music has power. We've all read articles about how music helps people with dementia, and it also is so important for brain development in children, and it just is just powerful. And I always say, who doesn't like music?
Right, right.
And I'm a grandma, a great grandma, and so most of my music are songs that I can sing with the kiddos or whatever.
Sure.
It's a powerful thing, and it does bring us together.
The Chuck Kirkwood and Lenore Berg Band will be at Make Music Barron pretty soon. You can hear them play at KJ's Fresh Market at 10:30 a.m. Here's an example of what you might hear if you go see them play. That was the Chuck Kirkwood and Lenore Berg Band playing at Cambridge Senior Living Center in Rice Lake circa July 2020. You can hear them live later today at 10:30 a.m. at KJ's Fresh Market in Barron as part of Make Music Barron. Mo, the Chuck Kirkwood and Lenore Berg Band has a music video of the song that we just heard. And you mentioned the pandemic. In the video, musicians are social distancing. So how much different is it now to be at the Make Music event compared to when it first started?
Oh, it's so great to see people back together and performers being able to perform live with an audience. To me, there's nothing better than live music. And it's all free. It's that's what's the beauty of this too, is that the music is all free. I believe I heard a line from Madison that performed by anyone for everyone. I love that. But it's just, it's, you know, when we first started, we did window serenades where we had our Federated Music Club members went to people in senior housing, and they would put a sign in the window if they wanted a performance, and then we would go around and we would sing songs to them. And while we're still visiting those facilities, we don't have to do it through a window, you know, with masks.
We're talking
So.
about Make Music Day with Mo Tolman, volunteer organizer of Make Music Barron. Now let's bring in Mary Rose Eckberg. Mary is managing director of Make Music Madison. Madison has more than 100 locations sharing free music. Welcome, Mary Rose.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Make Music Madison is a nonprofit organization. What prompted this to become its own nonprofit? How did it grow into that?
So the first year, there were a lot of very dedicated community leaders, as well as city staff and local politicians, including even, you know, Mayor Soglin, who were really supportive of this venture. And the leaders at the time, including Michael Rothschild, felt that it would make sense for long-term sustainability to, you know, launch a nonprofit so that there was a fundraising arm and a way to sustain this and really keep it going outside of, you know, being dependent on you know, city budgetary changes and et cetera. So it's been really wonderful to have that because it does allow us to really work closely with different community partners and you know, keep ourselves alive.
And what is the difference between Make Music Day and, say, a free concert series?
Oh, that's a fun question. So Make Music Day is really about anybody and everybody. So as Mo was saying, here in Madison, we have this tagline, performed by anyone, enjoyed by everyone. And that really celebrates the ethos that is our event. It's, you know, if you've never played an instrument in your life, there's opportunities for you. If this is your first time playing live in front of somebody, and you've been hiding in your garage playing guitar for 10 years, you can come on out today. It's very low pressure. It's very community driven. And it's really about celebrating local musicians and you know, breaking the stigma of music. You know, sometimes people say like, oh, I can't play an instrument. And I personally am not a musician, but on Make Music Day, I can go to an event that has like, you know, for instance, a free kazoo jam or a harmonica jam or bucket drumming and just pick something up and play with it and have fun.
We are talking about Make Music Day today. Mo Tolman is the volunteer organizer of Make Music Barron. Mary Rose Eckberg is the managing director of Make Music Madison. This year, Make Music Madison has its own anthem. It'll be featured in a forthcoming documentary about Make Music Madison. We'll leave you with a sample of the new album, written and performed by Madison artist Corey Whitmore, known by the stage name Dash Dub. The song features artist Elise Mosley. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Let's go. It's a worldwide celebration, a musical dedication for the nation. Let's make music. 608, let's do this. On the 21st, we moving, grooving. Longest day of the year, sun's out, no clouds, and the sky is clear. Fresh gear, a quick look in the mirror, let's go. Y'all ready to move? Let's go. Backpack on the metro, close eyes, envisioning the set blow. Man, with a mic in my hand, outside with my group of friends. Can't wait just to do it again. Hand clapping, singing, rapping, fist bumps, dapping, huh? Having the time of my life, with an experience that's larger than life. Let's go. Make music, 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 Madison. Make music, Madison.
It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer Kent. The music you heard just a moment ago is called Follow Me by Dash Dub. It's a hip-hop artist who will perform at Make Music Madison today. So if you're in town, you can hear him play from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Confluence at Library Mall. Mary Rose Eckberg and Mo Tolman stay with us for a conversation on Make Music Day, being celebrated today around the state and worldwide. Mo, are the musicians who perform paid, or are they doing this on a volunteer basis?
That is up to the venue hosts, how they, because the venue host is, I help them if they are struggling to find artists. I try to network and find artists for those, you know, looking for someone to perform. But let's say our public library, they have the Polka Dot Zebra Band coming in today, and they are bringing with them like 50 instruments for participants to check out, play with, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they do pay their artists.
Okay, so it depends.
So it all depends on the host, the venue host.
Okay.
What they work out with their performers.
Okay. Mary Rose, I was just thinking, you know, we heard this hip-hop artist just a moment ago, and a 2018 report on Madison art says local hip-hop artists have been vastly underrepresented on Madison stages for decades, despite there being hundreds of rappers, singers, DJs, and dancers in the city. Does this align with your experience working in the Madison music scene?
It does, unfortunately. You know, I think there's changes, and there's a lot of desire to grow and improve Madison's music system. There's some people working for this project called Greater Madison Music City that are really striving to change that demographic, you know, that issue and that demographic that you hear about Madison. But, you know, here, you know, Make Music Madison is kind of this perfect platform that we can galvanize to sort of help change this slowly, I think, over time. And we can see examples of how, you know, things are shifting just in the numbers that we have here. So last year, for instance, we had only 9 events that registered using the genre hip hop. So that doesn't include, you know, other genres like Afrobeat or R&B, or, you know, some people choose other, or they choose open to anything. So this isn't an exact science. But we had 9 last year, and this year we have 47 events.
Okay.
As of last night. And, you know, so you can see that there's growth in representation in Make Music Madison. And I'm hoping that long-term that's reflected within, people's experiences in general. You know, the more we can get this out into the public, the more hip hop feels welcome on every street corner and in every space in Madison, the more we'll see it in our venues.
And Mo, how does Make Music Baron support Black artists and other artists of color? Is there a way that you can see that the festival could do that in the future too?
Well, that's been one of my challenges, is making the event more diversified. We do have our drum circle, and so ever since the beginning, I have been looking for a drum circle from our indigenous community. I would love to have a youth drum group come in and perform for us. But I just, in my area, it's very much an organic process. It's like, do you know someone that I can talk to? And people sending people to me. And I just have not made those connections, because we do have our community. For a little town in Northwest Wisconsin, we have a very diverse community. We have an immigration population of East African, Somali, Hispanics. We recently had some new community members move in from the Philippines, along with the kind of traditional Wisconsinites, Norwegians, Swedes, Germans, Italians, mm-hmm. You know, I think of Little Baron as that little melting pot that we all talk about with America. But it really has been a challenge. And, you know, that's kind of my goal going forward, is to make this more diversified, and find those musicians Because we are very rural. We're under 4,000 people. We are, 2 hours away from the Twin Cities, and how to maybe tap into that area with a wider group of artists or whatever.
Sure.
But it is a goal of mine.
Okay.
To make the celebration more diverse.
Madison-based musician Marcus Porter will be at Make Music Madison later today. Here's a clip from The Wait. This is a song featured on his new album called The Perception.
Sorry, Ma, I can't wait. Sorry, hip-hop, that I'm late. I was making my way, riding my way. Pardon my tardy to the party, got lost in the lobby of honesty. Honestly, didn't know the way. I auto my way, but no autopilot. I rock it in silence. I'm lauded, applauded, appreciate, honor. Yeah, in it as one of the best. Know that we coming next.
That was The Wait by Marcus Porter off his new album called The Perception. He has 5 different shows booked today as part of Make Music Madison. His main show is an hour long from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Ulbrich Botanical Gardens. We're talking about Make Music today with Moel Tolman, volunteer organizer of Make Music Barron, and Mary Rose Eckberg, managing director of Make Music Madison. The U.S. Department of Commerce says that per capita, Wisconsin ranks last in the U.S. as far as public funding for arts and culture. Mary Rose, how are funding disparities affecting your community?
Well, luckily in Madison, we get, I think, the best support we can, given the situation, from the organizations that we have here. But you can see it in, the number of nonprofits out there that are generated in order to try to find funding or try to create, a more advantageous reason to get funding. And you can also see it in, the way that we're able to participate support people on Make Music Day. So, we're supported by the Madison Arts Commission, as well as a bunch of different grants this year that we got for a very specific stage. And a lot of these funds, they're trickling down, and it's not a lot of money ultimately for what we do or what we'd like to do long term. And it pushes us to have to spend a lot more time, like most organizations, trying to survive. And if you compare this to other communities, including next door over in Minneapolis and in Minnesota, where they have a significantly higher spending per capita, you can just see how much the arts thrive when they get proper funding from the state. So I think that this is a struggle that we're going to have for a long time until we can help the community understand that supporting the arts is not a frivolous spending item. This is something that changes your community long-term for the better. And time after time, you can see the value of this in communities that support the arts. They thrive.
Mo, what has the response been in Barron to Make Music Day since it began? What is the response you're hearing? What do the people who attend feel?
There's a lot of excitement because it is still a relatively new celebration. Sometimes people still don't get that it's not about, a mainline headliner performer, that it's back to the Madison tagline thing of anybody can do it. That I plan on going to our public piano and pick out a song that I can play piano from memory, and participate in that way. But it's been really well received. We had 4 new host venues that approached me this year, which I thought that was thrilling. We only have 12 venues compared to Mary Rose down there in Madison, which I'm so thrilled to hear about their success down there. They kind of set a goal, and they're doing it. But it's been very well received. And one of our kind of favorite, besides Lenore and Chuck Kirkwood, because they are our oldest performers and they're in their 90s, is our drum circle. And that brings in a lot of youth, grandparents with kids, because it's in the afternoon after summer school.
Well, it sure sounds like a wonderful time, and I hope the festivals go well today. I want to thank you both for joining us and just sharing all of this with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
You bet. You can take a look at our website to find the closest Make Music event to you, wpr.org/mornings. You can also find information for all the artists you heard today. And if you'll be in Madison, be sure to check out their lineup, plan your schedule. Mo Tolman is the volunteer organizer of Make Music Barron. I would love to be there today. Mary Rose Eckberg is the managing director of Make Music Madison. It's the morning show. I'm Shereen Seward in for Kate Archer Kent. The first QWERTY Fest MKE will be held this weekend in Milwaukee, celebrating the history of the keyboard. We all know that sound the moment we hear it. So why was the QWERTY keyboard layout invented the way it was, and how does it shape the way we communicate? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. T. Krulos is a freelance writer from Milwaukee. He's a co-organizer of the first QWERTY Fest MKE. T., welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
You bet. Molly Schneider is a senior writer at On Milwaukee, as well as a poet and prose writer and another festival organizer. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Molly, let's start with you. Since the computer was invented, fewer people use typewriters today. So why hold a festival celebrating typewriters and the QWERTY keyboard?
I came to the conclusion that not a lot of Milwaukeeans even know that the keyboard, the typewriter was invented here 150 years ago, but that it's also the same keyboard that we still have on our phones and on our computers today. So it's still extremely relevant, first of all. But also it is something that we wanted to celebrate in terms of Milwaukee innovation. Milwaukeeans are so quick to celebrate our history with beer, our history with motorcycles, all these things wonderful. But we also wanted to get on the map that this is the birthplace of the typewriter, something that we can celebrate as a community and that we can celebrate for years to come.
T, at the week-long QWERTY Fest in Milwaukee, people will learn about a man named Christopher Schulz. So who was Christopher Schulz?
Christopher Schulz was an early Renaissance man. He was a newspaper editor. He was an inventor. And he went through several prototypes of trying to build a typewriter and finally came up with the model that's familiar with all of us today. And part of that invention was the QWERTY layout of the keyboard, which is still the keyboard configuration that we use today on all of our computers and phones. And there's a lot of lore about why it was designed that way, but generally it's believed that the keys were spread out so that they wouldn't jam together when you're typing fast. So that was his invention, and he came up with it 150 years ago. And yes, an important part of Milwaukee legacy.
Molly, what is your understanding about why the keyboard was designed the way it was?
I've always thought as well that it had to do with the keys not jamming. And then I think it has to do with, now we don't use a typewriter anymore. We obviously don't have to worry about keys jamming on our phones or on our typewriter or on our computers. I think it is just a matter of tradition. And there have been other keyboards that have been introduced, but I think we're just really used to it. It works for us. And so it's stayed as the primary keyboard that we use today.
T, how did the idea for the QWERTY Fest come about anyway?
So I guess the idea started one day I was walking down 4th Street here in Milwaukee, and there is a historical marker that notes that Christopher Schulz's workshop where he created the typewriter was very close to that location downtown. And I was kind of aware of this history, and I had seen this marker before, But when I walked by it that day, I just kind of stood and thought about it for a minute. And I was like, you know, that's a really cool thing about Milwaukee. I wonder why there is no like celebration over that. And that's when the wheel started turning. I put it out on social media. Molly and some other great local writers and artists responded to that. And I think there was a really great energy behind the idea, and it started to fall into place.
It's a pretty cool piece of history. Molly, tell us what events are planned for QWERTY Fest. What can we expect?
We have an entire weekend. It starts Friday night. We are having the opening night party at Dandy on Milwaukee's Near West Side. We're going to have the band 1913 playing. We're going to have something called a clackathon. We'll have a raffle, a typing stations. I know, a clackathon, right? Kind of want to back up there. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Wait, what is that?
you know, it's the Anja Not Anja Seeger is a poet and just awesome community member here in Milwaukee. And she is doing, I guess it would be best described as a performance art slash competition between writers slash you got to see it to believe it slash no. it's basically performance art.
There's even a villain in the show. Chat GPT is the villain.
Right. So but so this is all happening Friday night at our opening night party, which we're really excited to announce that it is sold out. So people in Milwaukee are super stoked about celebrating the typewriter and the keyboard, just as we are and just as we suspected. So, but if you still want to be a part of QWERTY Fest, there's so many other options. We have two workshops the next day. Those are at the Bindery in Bayview. One's a typewriter 101 class that is sold out as well. But there is a creative writing typewriting class. It's still a few spots available. Then we have a lot of events at the Forest Home Cemetery. We have tours going on because that's where Scholes is buried. Plus there'll be other literary figures and artists and just innovators in Milwaukee that'll be part. We'll be looking at the graves of these contributors. The chapel is on site at the cemetery, and it is going to be open to the public from 1 to 6. And inside all day, we're going to be having free events, and that's going to be vending. There's going to be displays. There's going to be Tom Hanks signed typewriter is going to be there. There's going to be someone DJing on a Victrola. There's going to be presentations that are free. I'm going to be doing one about the complicated history of women and the typewriter. I know I'm saying a lot of words, but there's just so much going on. Then we have an open mic on Saturday night at the press room. Sunday, we have a brunch at it's Bring Your Typewriter, Don't Bring Your Typewriter. It's at Company Brewing. It's an open jam typewriter brunch. We're really looking forward to that. I might not have said those words in the right order, but again, so stoked. And then finally, we are going to have an open house at a wonderful gallery inside the House of Rad. T, you always remember the order of these words better than I do. Anchor.
It's AP3, Anchor Press, Paper, and Print.
Okay.
There you go. I wanted to get it right. So that's how we're closing it out. We're going to have free beer from Lakefront Brewery. We're going to just have the whole weekend. And, you know, I have
it
to say.
It sounds great. It sounds great.
We put this together very quickly. So, yes, we put this together in 3 months. So that's my final words.
We have the organizers of the first QWERTY Fest in Milwaukee. T. Krulos is a freelance writer from Milwaukee. He's also the author of multiple books. Molly Schneider is a senior writer at On Milwaukee, as well as a poet and prose writer and another festival organizer. You can join in this conversation at 800-642-1234. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Shereen Seward. We're talking with two Milwaukee-based writers, Molly Schneider and T. Krulos. They're organizers of the first QWERTY Fest. QWERTY Fest, MKE. It celebrates Milwaukee's role in this development of the typewriter. You can join in, too, with your questions and your thoughts on this iconic Wisconsin invention at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.com. typewriters.org. Molly, you mentioned that you're going to be giving a talk about how typewriters paved the way for women to enter the workforce. Talk about that a little bit. How have typewriters made a difference?
So typewriters were basically the portal that allowed women to have jobs in offices. Prior to that, offices were 100% almost filled with men. So when the typewriter came out, it was an opportunity on the one hand for women, because men didn't want to be typists, and there's a lot of reasons for that. However, so then suddenly women were hired to come into the office to become typists. It was such a need. Obviously, the typewriter just took, you know, the entire world by storm, you know, the business community, of course, most of all. So women came into the workforce, were able to work in offices, were able to make a little bit more money than they were from other jobs that were traditionally more, quote, acceptable for women, meaning like shop girls or a laundress. Or however, right away, as soon as women entered the workforce, entered the offices, they were paid less than men. And this was also considered the beginning of the gender pay gap.
So a bit of a double-edged sword there.
Exactly, exactly.
T, there's a growing typewriter subculture around the world. Are you expecting people from out of town to visit the festival? Any famous faces?
Well, we have invited Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is a typewriter enthusiast, so we've typed him a letter, of course. I don't know if he'll show up. I'm always hopeful that I'll be walking through the room and then I'll see Tom Hanks enjoying a beer. It could happen.
It could happen. I mean, there's others too. I mean, John Mayer is a big typewriter user. Conan O'Brien.
Yeah. Right. So. I just discovered Conan O'Brien was too. So
yeah.
No one famous, I don't think. We do have some people coming from out of town, which is nice to know that the enthusiasm extends beyond Milwaukee. So we'll have some visitors.
I mean, people are still, you know, people like Tom Hanks and the people we talked about, they still love the typewriter. What is it that's so enduring about it?
I think, and particularly related to this event, when we were promoting this, we had a letter writing session with about 18 local writers and teachers who participated. And we were just writing letters telling people about CordyFest. And I think, you know, what I realized that evening is we do so much communication online and by text. It was just nice to like share space with other people and work on something together. And they're fun. Typewriters are fun.
We're talking about the first QWERTYFest MKE, which will be held this weekend starting on National Typewriter Day, which is Friday. With us are the festival's organizers, T. Krulos and Molly Schneider. Molly, there's new smart typewriters technology out there. I keep seeing ads for like FreeWrite and some other smart typewriters. What's your opinion on these new typewriters that allow a person to type but without distraction of the internet?
I think it's great. I think typing on a typewriter, one of the main reasons that those of us who love them is because there isn't any distraction. And it's also a chance to really be inside your head, to think before you type. You know that what you're putting out there isn't as easy deletable. Now in these other models, newer models, of course it is. But just the whole experience, I mean, whatever helps with your process, whatever helps you, you know, be alone with your thoughts and create better work, I'm all for it.
T, what are your thoughts on the new smart typewriters? Have you tried any of them?
I haven't tried any of that, but it's interesting. And I do like the combination of old technology and new technology sometimes. So I'll have to try one out.
And T, with the festival going on this weekend, what do you think about the future? Are there plans to grow the festival next year? You're going to see how things go. What's the plan?
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going to be expanding the festival next year. We're really excited. There was a lot of good ideas that we had for this year, but there just wasn't the time or bandwidth to execute them. So we've got a lot of fresh ideas going into next year already.
Yeah, Molly, you said you put this together in just such a short amount of time. That's amazing. But if people are interested in exploring typewriters for the first time, let's say they're just a newbie, what's a good festival event to go to? What do you recommend?
Well, we have a workshop at the Bindery that is happening in 12 o'clock, and that is a creative writing typewriter experience. You don't have to have your own typewriter. It is one of our few events. It's not sold out. It's still an opportunity to come and to be able to try out a typewriter and to be able to learn a little bit about it and learn how to write on a typewriter. We're also at our brunch going to be having some typewriters available too, that if you want to stop in and give it a whirl. The thing is, on our Friday night party, again, which is sold out, we're having typewriter stations with a variety of different typewriters and typing prompts and such. That is a great opportunity for those that have tickets to come and to try out typewriters. We've had some events already where we've been out in the public for gallery nights and what. It's been super fun to see kids and young people who've literally never seen a typewriter or never typed on a typewriter before type on one for the first time. Because as T said, it's really fun, among all other things.
T, what are you most excited about this weekend? What's your favorite event that's being planned?
I mean, I love all of them, of course. I think they're all great. And the tour, I think, is going to be especially interesting. I am actually excited about that because I'm still learning about the history here. But I think my favorite is the Typewriter Brunch Open Jam, because it's a very mellow event and a chance, like I said before, to socialize with other people while you're working on your typewriters. And of course, enjoying a delicious brunch.
Molly, do you think typewriters are here to stay? Do you think that the staying power is going to continue?
Absolutely. I mean, I know it's a niche thing, but as we get further and further in technology, you know, the more that we see the positive aspects of what we already have. And this is with vinyl. We see this with records, you know, versus, you know, streaming music. We see this people loving cameras, you know, as opposed to all digital, old school cameras. So it's just this constant nostalgia meets appreciation for what we had as we move forward.
T, where can people go to find out more information about the festival this weekend?
The best place to go is our website. It's QWERTYfest.com. And you can find a schedule, ticket links, and all the information you need.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us, and I hope everything goes really well for you this weekend. I wish I could be there myself. T. Krulos is a freelance writer from Milwaukee. He is the author of multiple books. Molly Schneider is a senior writer at On Milwaukee, as well as a poet and prose writer and another festival organizer. They are organizing the first QWERTY Fest in Milwaukee, June 23rd through the 25th. After 8, Kate Archer-Kent is in for a discussion on sewer line repair safety, as well as the challenges related to citizen engagement process with the participatory budgeting project. I'm Shireen Seward. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.